from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and the first two verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance.
We come now to this passage in First Peter in the first two verses, and I thought it was very interesting that Ian was sharing that this was one of the first verses that he memorised, and he encouraged us to think about memorising it ourselves. And the reason for that is because it's actually quite extraordinary how much stuff is packed into these two verses. There's a phenomenal amount of material packed into these opening remarks of Peter's first letter. It really is quite phenomenal. I've just realised I've lost my notes. There we go. It's one of the things that sometimes when you read a passage in your devotional times and whatnot, sometimes you skip over these bits, and you sometimes think the introduction to letters and whatnot is not so so important. But we come to these verses, and we've just been singing there. The chorus to that last song was, "What is on your heart? Show me what to do. Let me know your will, and I will follow you." And quite often when we come to portions of Scripture, we're looking for commands, we're looking for the imperatives. Well, in this particular passage, there's no imperatives, there's no commands, there's no instructions. So it's not a case of showing us what to do. But what we have in these verses, these are absolutely chock full of theological information that actually really blesses us if we start to really get even a slight handle on what this is about. These words are an absolute blessing to us. So anyway, we'll come now to just thinking about them. One of the questions that we often have is, what does it mean to be what does it mean to be the people of God in 21st century Scotland? What does that look like? How should we relate to a government and to civil leaders who do not acknowledge the lordship of Christ? How do we respond to an employer who begins to treat us unjustly because we follow Jesus? How do we react to being insulted and slandered by neighbours simply because we're Christians? These are key questions for us. We are occasionally caused to answer them because we experience the tension of being Christians in a nation that is largely now non-Christian. In fact, you could even describe our nation as being more pagan now than Christian. And these are questions that are actually dealt with in this New Testament letter of 1 Peter. The original recipients of this letter, they stood out in the world that they lived in because they followed Jesus. In fact, they were experiencing trouble and persecutions because they were following Jesus when Peter wrote this. However, despite the suffering that they were going through, they were to continue to live in a particular manner in this world, conducting their lives in a way that was honouring to Christ. Now, for us today, this is very, very relevant. This is such an encouraging letter to study because it gives us very clear wisdom on how to stand firm in the faith during times of suffering, particularly during times of unjust suffering. Also gives us that wisdom that we need to know how to conduct ourselves, to live for Christ in a culture which has becoming increasingly intolerant towards Christian values and unsympathetic towards Christians. So it's helpful for those reasons. So we're going to spend some time now, probably over the next 3 months, as we look at this letter together. And I really hope that it's going to be beneficial for us who have made that commitment to follow Christ. And also really beneficial for those of us who are undecided about whether to commit our lives to Christ and follow him, but want to consider the real cost of what it actually means to follow him. So it's a very valuable letter for us to look at. And we're going to look at these opening verses, which really help to piece together some of the information behind this letter, some of the background, I should say, behind this letter. Now, it follows very typical first century pattern of a letter. So these opening verses, what we have is we've got information about who wrote the letter, we've got information about who the letter is addressed to, the original recipients, and then we have a blessing being pronounced upon the original recipients, which was the ordinary thing to do when writing a letter in those days. But the words of blessing had taken on a particular significance, a special significance for believers. So what we've got here in these two verses is a very standard pattern of writing a letter in the first century Greek world. But as we're about to see, there is nothing mundane or ordinary about these words. These introduce a letter that is centered on the good news of Jesus Christ, an amazing life-changing message that is about abundant grace and peace from our God in heaven to his people. So firstly, what we see is that this was a letter written by Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, just my apologies, I don't have an overhead this morning, so just to help you maybe follow where we're going with this, we've really got, if you think about it in three parts, first of all, we're going to be considering who the letter is from. Then we're going to be considering who the letter is to, and at the end we're briefly just going to think about the power of the blessing, the power that's wrapped up in those words of blessing. So the first of the three parts, we see that it was written by Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. At the end of the letter, we see that he got a little bit of help in writing this from a man called Silas. So it's likely that Silas acted like a sort of secretary, that Peter dictated the letter to him and Silas wrote it down. What we know about Peter is that he was a fisherman who used to fish Lake Galilee. And as we're told in the Gospels, one day he met Jesus. And Jesus called Peter to leave his fishing, to come and follow him, and he would be made a fisher of men. And Peter did so. He spent the next 3 years with Jesus, living closely with Jesus. In fact, he became one of the closest disciples. And he saw how Jesus lived. He heard the teaching of Jesus. He witnessed the many miracles of Christ. His name Peter, even that, was actually not his real name. That was the name that was given to him by Jesus. Jesus gave him the name Rock, which when translated into Greek is Peter. His actual name is Simon, so we sometimes call him Peter, sometimes Simon Peter. It's the same person. And what we know about him from the Gospels is that he was quite a bold character. He was quite an honest person. He's the kind of guy that wore his heart on his sleeve. Slightly impetuous, but you can't argue that he was a brave guy. He was quite a courageous disciple. And when others were at the point of trying to figure out who Jesus was because they heard his teaching, they saw his miracles, Peter was already in the place where he was quite confident. He knew who Jesus was, that Jesus was the Christ. But despite his convictions about Jesus, despite the courage that he had, when the time of testing came for him and Jesus was arrested just as Jesus told him. He denied knowing Jesus 3 times. This devastated him when he later realized what he had done. But after Jesus had died and risen again, Peter was reinstated. And within a short time, we see this simple fisherman from Galilee, a real working class man, becoming a key leader in the church. And we see him standing up in the day of Pentecost, only 50 days or so after Jesus had risen from the dead. We see him preaching to crowds in Jerusalem of crowds of many thousands, as he told them about the death and the resurrection of Jesus and what it meant. So that gives us a little bit of a biography into Peter. At the time of writing this letter, we know he was getting on a little bit. From the closing greetings of the letter, we see that he was passing on greetings from the church in Babylon. Now, in Christian circles, this was a symbolic name, a code name for Rome at that time, where Peter was most likely to be at the time of writing. That's why he was passing on the greetings from that church. And that means, the relevance of that is that it means that we can date this letter to around about 63 AD. And we know that because Peter only went to Rome late in his life, and the Great Fire of Rome, that happened in 64 AD. And it was a result of that Nero, the Emperor Nero, who'd started the fires himself, rounded up the Christians and started persecuting them, and that's when Peter himself was executed by crucifixion. So we can date the letter to around about 63 AD. So at